Hey there, and welcome to today's episode of Social Media Moneymakers, part of the Stan family of podcasts. I'm your host, Brock Johnson, and today we're going to take a deep dive into the world of affiliate marketing. I'm going to be interviewing a self-proclaimed hot mess mom who has reached the seven-figure income mark through primarily affiliate marketing, and she also has her own digital products to sell as well. In today's episode, you'll hear how she hit the six-figure income mark with only about 6,000 followers on Instagram. And most importantly, you're going to hear a message that I think isn't talked about enough on social media, and that's the importance of an email list. Now, maybe as I say that, you're thinking, Brock, everyone talks about how important an email list is, but nonetheless, even as if everyone always is talking about it 24/7, I still don't think people are talking about it enough. I think so many people put all of their eggs in the basket of growing their following, when in reality, you need to be building an email list as well. And I think a really cool thing that we didn't even necessarily get into in the podcast today is that Stan can be used for both building an email list and affiliate marketing. Something that I've found to be really fun and exciting ever since adding a Stan store link to my own bio is that people will sign up for Stan through the link in my bio just because it's kind of like a little footer at the bottom of my link. And they'll sign up and join Stan, and that's kind of like an affiliate link. I shouldn't even say kind of like, that is an affiliate link, because then I get notified that they join Stan through my link and I get a commission fee for them signing up. And of course, Stan is such an awesome tool for building your email list, for offering free or for even allowing people to opt in right there on your link. So Stan is really the tool to facilitate everything that we're talking about in today's episode. But who is my guest today? None other than Caroline Hene, who has over 600,000 followers on Instagram and has built that following through hyper consistency, yet flexibility in what she's posting in her feed. You're going to hear a message that you've heard in some previous episodes repeated today around selling and how frequently you should sell and how you should sell or promote on social media. We're going to talk about the nitty-gritty of an email sequence or a funnel so that once you start collecting email list subscribers, what should you actually do with them? What do you do to turn those email list subscribers into customers? And we're even going to talk about selling flamethrowers. So without further ado, here's the conversation. Hello, Caroline. Welcome to today's episode of Social Media Moneymakers.
Hi, nice to meet you. I'm so excited to be here.
I know. I'm so excited to do this. You popped up on my radar. Gosh, it was a few months ago now. I started to see some of your reels and you started to just kind of show up more on my Instagram. And so I started following you. We've now connected and I'm just excited to hear more about your story, but also, you know, specifically how you've made your money and what your business is, because this is social media money makers after all. And so you're now at multiple seven-figure earner over the past few years. I would love to know how you categorize your primary source of income. I know you have multiple streams of income now, but your primary, maybe your number one income driver, is that, what would you categorize that as?
I guess the primary source is through affiliate marketing, but it's also through my own digital products. So both have been insanely profitable over the last 15 months. And I kind of learned my way through all of that. And now I have a coaching program and everything. So a lot trickles in from both. But yeah, it's between affiliate marketing and digital products. And now we've been able to, you know, move into real estate and have that sort of passive income as well. But it's been crazy.
I love that. Yeah, that's exciting. What did you start with? Did you start with affiliate marketing and then did you create your own course down the line? Is that how you went?
So I started with affiliate marketing. After I was a mental health and substance use counselor for a while, and I got my, you know, my master's degree and everything. And then I basically just wanted to find a way to stay home with the baby that I was expecting. I was 7 months pregnant at the time, and started looking into ways to make money online. And then I came across an affiliate marketing course and, you know, basically thought it was BS. And then I did a ton of research, Google, YouTube, all the things, kind of vetted it. And then I decided to take it for the $7 that it was. And then I kind of, like, the rest is history. That's how I learned about digital products. And that's how I kind of branched into that whole segment of things. Once I understood the business of affiliate marketing, the entire business model that it contains. And then I started branching out and doing coaching and masterminds, and everything has kind of flowed from that. But yeah, it's been insane, to say the least.
Yeah. Awesome. So I'm curious then, with affiliate marketing, which we talked about briefly a few episodes ago, just to catch anyone up who's listening who didn't listen or doesn't know what affiliate marketing is. Affiliate marketing is essentially selling or promoting something that someone else has created. And then when you get a conversion or a sale, you get a certain percentage of that. And it varies from company to company. Amazon Associates gives you pennies on the dollar. It's like 0.1%. Most companies, it seems like it's more like 10 to 20, maybe even more. Depends on the company and the product. I'm curious, when you first got started, let's really get into the nitty gritty. Did you start with like a low ticket affiliate product where it was, maybe let's say less than 20 or less than 50, or was it more of a high ticket affiliate?
So when I first started, the company that I learned through basically talked about high ticket affiliate marketing. So in my mind, commissions that were, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, even sometimes percent commission percentages. And then based on, it might be a recurring thing or just the dollar amount that you would make on, making the sale of that product. So when I first started, I learned about high ticket affiliate marketing because I'd heard about Amazon and stuff. And yeah, like you said, pennies on the dollar, 4% commissions, on just crap that people are buying. So I started with Exothermic Technologies flamethrowers, believe it or not. So I took the course. I eventually told my husband that I was doing it because I just don't know. I didn't want to be I wasn't on social media before. So It was just weird to be here in the first place. And then, so basically I told him about it. He had just been gifted a flamethrower for helping his friend's dad's company move. And he's now in the back with this flamethrower. And I'm just in my head, wow, all this stuff about affiliate marketing, I can promote companies' products online. And I'm in my mind, flamethrowers are probably expensive, So then I asked him, you should see if they have an affiliate program. And so he asked and everything, and they do. So I'm like, wow, okay, cool. They're really there's affiliate links for everything. So I basically reached out to the company and got my affiliate link for that. And that's kind of how it started. And that was a high ticket commission because it's a flamethrower. And then I moved into health and fitness stuff. And I'm what are pricey things that I can do in this space to make a good commission percentage off of, or not to make a good commission off of. So we had a cold plunge. And then saunas, they have things that you can have, you can literally set up in your house. So there's a lot of high ticket things that people, I feel like, just don't think about that you can make good commissions off of, depending on what niche you're in and what you're interested in.
That totally makes sense. With the flamethrower, I think that's such an hilarious example of your first dabbling into affiliate marketing, a flamethrower of all things. But I'm curious to dive into this a little bit more. When you first got started, you said you weren't really even on social media. So where or how did you actually do the marketing part of the affiliate marketing?
So I made myself on social media once I realized that social media was a moneymaker. There's so much money being made here that people don't even realize. And I was one of those people. So I had my Facebook page that I've had since 2013 with friends from school and family and stuff. And that was pretty much it. It wasn't like I was being a creator by any stretch of the imagination. I didn't know how to make a reel or a TikTok or anything of the sort. So I would just post little status updates. But eventually I took this course and I realized that this was just something I was missing out on. So I learned social media and I would do YouTube and little tutorial videos on the apps and stuff and figured out how to edit and create. And it's just, it's expanded to this. So it's crazy.
In those early stages, let's focus in on the first 90 days. So let's say the first 3 months. Do you remember off the top of your head roughly how many followers you gained? And also roughly, as much as you're willing to share, what were the sales numbers in those early days? I would imagine, of course, now with over 500,000 followers, the sales are greater in volume than they were during those first few months. But those really initial early days, what were those like?
I don't know. It's hard to, I can tell you my story, but it's,
yeah, absolutely.
It's not always the case for everybody. Cause I feel like my story is a little bit unique and different. in the sense that like I kind of did well from the beginning. I made my first commission 2 weeks in. And by the time I actually had my son, which was 2 days before Christmas, December 2022, I had already made my entire year's salary as a mental health counselor, which was over $35,000. So that was in my second month. And by my third month, I had hit my first six figures. So crazy. And I didn't have an insane following on Instagram at the time. I probably had maybe 6,000 followers on Instagram.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I did have a TikTok, but TikTok back in the day, maybe it's like less crazy now, but TikTok back in the day, like you'd be getting banned for everything. Like you like breathe differently on the app and you're gone. So I gained, I think like, it was like 170,000 followers or something crazy in my first month, I think on TikTok, which was just wild. And I still, my following now, I think is just barely over that on TikTok. But so that I think was a lot of like the front end sales and stuff. But Instagram was like, you know, that was not even on my radar at the time.
Gotcha. Yeah. Quick sidebar about TikTok. Absolutely. Like, it's funny how people have this misconception around TikTok is like, it's the Wild West and, you know, we're getting brainwashed and there's all this crazy content on there. When most people who I talk to, especially most like large creators who have a decent sized following, it's the platform where like, you're going to get banned in an instant. You're going to get banned, as you said, just for like breathing wrong. Whereas I feel like other platforms are a little more lenient on things you can and can't get away with. But I digress. That's not why we're here. I'm curious though. So you had 170K on TikTok, 6K on Instagram. I feel like the 6K, of course, is going to feel a lot more relatable and obtainable for our average listener. Do you know roughly percentage-wise where the sales were coming from? Was it mostly Instagram? Was it mostly TikTok? Was it 50-50? How would that split up?
It was also, I had Facebook in there too. And it was kind of like, I didn't really jump into Instagram and Facebook until that TikTok went down. So I think that the bulk of stuff came from TikTok, at least like initially. And then it started to become Instagram, because as we know, like Instagram is like your most profitable like follower, you know, and then Facebook, your most educated follower. So I started to kind of focus a little bit more on those versus TikTok. And I started to change my content to create more conversion boosting content versus like follower gaining content, growth content. So I started to change how I marketed and worked on my email campaign and all of that stuff. And then I started to really convert. And I think that the sole bulk of the conversions were through Instagram and through Facebook, because TikTok was pretty much gone at that point.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. And that's oftentimes how I hear people think about it. That's how I think about it myself is, first of all, TikTok, very often you can have it taken away without really much of an explanation, banned, blocked, disabled, whatever. But really, I think generally speaking, I think of TikTok as maybe the platform where you're going to get more attention. You're more likely to go viral. You can kind of build that massive following. But like you said, the conversions oftentimes are going to happen more likely than not on Instagram or Facebook. They absolutely can happen on TikTok. But like you said, you know, the more valuable follower often comes from Instagram. And there's so much you just hit on that I want to dive into today. I'm excited to talk about like email marketing and all these other things. But you did mention briefly in that last answer, the difference between like content that converts versus content that grows your following or goes viral or whatever. So generally speaking, what tips can you share with us or how do you differentiate between those two kinds of content?
That's a good question. So I think that when we're talking about like that growth phase, you're kind of putting your feelers out, you're getting your ideal target audience, your target client, but you're being more broad in your marketing and you're kind of bringing in a giant pool of people who might be interested in whatever it is that you have to offer. And then once you can kind of, you know, put out that valuable, educational, savable, shareable content, and your following starts to grow, then you can hit harder on your main offer and then start to really like niche down on a super, super targeted client, whatever your ideal client or target customer might be. And then you can speak to, you know, whatever it is that you want to speak to. If you do like pain point marketing or you want to be more motivational, aspirational, or speak on like whatever their desires are, because I think a lot of the time people like skip over the part where like your ideal target audience, your client, a lot of the time, like, and your brand is you. And people overthink that. So like, I know what I was going through at the time and like what I struggled with and what I wanted, what was my solution. So I speak on that a lot. And I share, you know, my journey from A to Z, or where, you know, we're not even at, we're just getting started, but it's cool to be able to play on my own, like kind of like insecurities and stuff and like my shortcomings. And I'm very good at like shitting on myself about stuff that like I've been through and like, you know, the struggles that I've faced and like that I still face, because I'm still a normal person. And I think people skip over that part of it. But I mean, going back into the growth kind of thing, I think that a lot of people will overthink how much of a following they need to have before they can actually start, you know, putting out that content that converts. And it's just a different year, you know, and the algorithms are always changing, you know, so it's like staying up to date with like being on top of what the algorithm wants and like what type of content that people want. Like, I feel like today it's like they want the controversial stuff. They want like the opinions. They want like, you know, you to put yourself out there and to show what you believe in and, you know, not going too extreme. But I think that before I was, you know, playing it safe, and a lot of people do still play it safe, but now I'm not afraid to speak on like, you know, what I actually believe. And that's what brings in like the loyal followers and the repeat customers and what ultimately builds my brand and separates me from people that are, you know, out here doing the same thing.
That totally makes sense. And I think if I'm to summarize what you just said, tell me if this is along the right lines. You grow your following with the savable, share-worthy content that's educational, that's maybe inspirational, motivational. Really, it resonates not necessarily with everyone on the planet, but with a wider audience, you could say. That's how you grow. And caveat or asterisk, if you want to add it, you don't need to grow to 600,000. You don't need as a massive following as a lot of people think you may need to be successful. But then once you have those followers, then you start to really hone in on their pain points. If that's the specific kind of marketing that you're doing, is focusing on, you know, solving their problems or addressing their needs. And then you start to offer your product or your services, whatever, as the solution to their pain points. And that's more of the converting content that might not necessarily go viral or massively grow your following, but it's going to make a difference on the bottom line and generate sales or customers. Is all of that accurate?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, awesome. Good to hear. So I want to circle back now to where you started with high ticket affiliate marketing. Back in episode, I think it was 2 or 3 of this podcast, I talked to Marketing Harry. And in that episode, he said that when he only had around 1,000 followers on Instagram, he closed a 4-figure package for like social media management. And I thought it was really interesting to hear that, because I think most people think, if I have a small following, I need to sell something that's inexpensive. And then when I have a large following, then I can sell something that's expensive. But then what kind of happens is you're selling something for, you know, $5 to a group of a couple hundred people. So your maximum earning potential is much lower than if you were selling something more expensive or higher ticket, to use like the marketing lingo. So I'm curious why you think it's advantageous, or if you think it's recommendable at all, when you have a smaller following, I'll put smaller in air quotes, to start with high ticket affiliate marketing rather than lower ticket affiliate marketing.
I think it all comes down to your brand and your trust, your content, who you are. Because if someone finds value in a product, and that's the cool thing about affiliate marketing, it's not, I mean, I do both, you know, like I have my own products too, but when it's affiliate marketing, like you're relying a lot on the company to do the closing, the selling, the all that stuff, you know? So when you're the one that's putting the content in their face, kind of being the middleman, like your job is to bring them to the brand and tell them why they need X, Y, and Z product, because they trust you, right? So even if you have like a small community of 1,000 followers, it's still not that hard to convert those people, because what you need to do is show yourself and why you believe in it, how it's helped you, and kind of give a little bit of that like social proof as to like why this could be really beneficial for them. And if it is your own product and it's a higher ticket thing, you have to stand on like what you believe your product is worth, you know? So if you don't have to buy in yourself to say like, yeah, this is 100% worth X amount of money, then like, it's going to be harder to convert those people because you're going to be a little bit hesitant in your content. You're going to be unsure of yourself. So I think that making sure that you align with whatever the product is that you're promoting and the price point of it, and that you believe in the product that is your own that you are promoting, because we're not able to, you know, set the price points of someone else's product, but you can set it for your own. So, and that's why I like the high ticket affiliate marketing, because you don't have to have a massive following making $5 on a product. You have a much smaller, you know, closer knit community where you can sell a good amount of products for a high commission and make some great money. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And you kind of reminded me of the idea of like, if you have, let's say, 1,000 followers, just to throw out a rough number, you can build so much more trust with those people. Like if you have 1,000 followers, you could name a lot of them by name. You can reach out to them via direct message. You can have like intimate conversations where you build trust. And to go back to what you said earlier, you can really be vulnerable and authentic and show your mess ups and your failures and shortcomings and things you're working on. And that builds more trust, which then makes it easier for you to sell, whether it is your own product or something that someone else created that you're an affiliate for. So that totally makes sense to me. Let's now kind of dive into something that I feel like maybe some like red flags went up in people's head when they heard you say $7 course, because there's this like common misconception when people hear $7 course. And I know we talked about this off air. I know a lot of people probably prejudge you thinking that what you do is master resale rights. And so I kind of wanted to talk about this a little bit. What's the difference between affiliate marketing and master resale rights? Because I understand that master resale rights is not what you do.
Right. So master resale rights basically allows you to purchase a product that you cannot, you know, change, alter, rebrand, edit at all, but you can sell it as if it's your own. And you can also sell the resale rights with that product. Meaning if you were to purchase the product from me, then you can market it as your own and sell it to Bob and Susie, and they can do the same thing. So it's kind of like this continuum of the same product being bought and resold, bought and resold, bought and resold. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think that there can just be some, just from some of the marketing that I've seen, is like it kind of like there's this continuum of like people just reselling this course, and it's like, well, what are we doing here, right? So with the course that I promote, that, and when I say like the $7 course, that's what I mean, the $7 course. So just like, you know, websites where maybe you're, you know, interested in buying something and you navigate away. So you do that so many times and they come back with an offer. So I actually paid $1 for this Legendary Marketer course, and people like to make the assumption that I bought, you know, the high ticket offer that the course does provide, does offer, but it's an optional like upsell, you know, like when you're shopping online and they're like, oh, add this to your cart. It's a higher upsell than like a $25 item. But a lot of people feel that, you know, they want to do it. They're in a different financial situation, like whatever. At the time, I was still like a raging skeptic of this whole business model. So I was doing my deep dive on Google and on YouTube. And so, yeah, well, I came back to that page, you know, X amount of times and got offered it for $1. And I was like, all right, I'll do it for $1. So I put in my information. I think I did till honestly about day 5 of the 15-day course. I was like, okay, I understand the assignment. This is what I need to do first. I got my notebook here, all of my notes of things that I had to do. I did step by step. I built my funnel. I did my email sequence, and I built it to a multi-million dollar business. And that's why, for me, I like why I believe in it so much, because you can have a broke mom who doesn't have much money to invest in something that they hope works out. And then, you know, you can invest very little to be able to have a big scalable business. And just the knowledge that you gain from that can be tremendous, you know, if you take it and run with it. And not everyone's the same. So I get that part. I'm having to remind myself of that. Like, not everyone wants it that badly. A lot of people are very like comfortably complacent in their situation as is, and like they'd rather show up at that job every day and do it for the next however many years versus like going out and doing something that's unfamiliar. I realized that not everyone is like that, but there's the opportunity that was given to me that I give to other people. And I'm like, that you could do something really, really big with this. And then seeing the people that I've, people who's seen my videos and like made moves on it and like met some of these people and like, I got like chills now, like literally just saying that, like to meet their husbands and stuff and to hear them say like, you know, like they couldn't afford groceries and now they're like, you know, making multiple six figures. It's just like, it's crazy the opportunity that's there. So that's why I like, I go hard on it. And that's why I go to these events and I remind people of, you know, my story because it is unique.
It is, and it's powerful. And I think a huge difference maker in your success was your ability to take action. Whereas I feel like a lot of people, they get caught. And I'm not trying to call anyone out who's listening right now, but there are a lot of people, let's be real, in the world who feel like they're making progress when they're learning, when they're buying another course, listening to another podcast. There's probably someone who's listening today who this is like their fourth episode of podcasts that they've listened to today. When in reality, like there's definitely a time and place to learn. There's definitely a season of life to gain knowledge. But success comes from taking action. Like bottom line, you have to implement. And so I love that you're like, it was a 15-day course, but by day five, I understood the assignment and I took action. I pulled the trigger and I started to see results. And that's powerful. And I'm excited to talk to you. And I know I said this earlier, but I'm so excited to talk to you more about building a funnel and an email list. Quickly before we move off of master resale rights, I think I would absolutely agree with you that there's a lot of people who are purchasing courses and then they're learning how to market said course, but they're not even, you know, learning marketing. They're not learning email list building. They're not learning about email sequences and funnels and building an actual business. They're just learning how to turn around and sell what they just bought. And they're going to teach other people how to also turn around and sell it. And I think that's kind of where master resale rights gets into this, a little bit of an icky territory where it gets kind of that bad reputation, but definitely understand the difference. And I appreciate you explaining that. So let's go back to really building a business. Do you believe that it's step one to build a following and a social media presence? Or is it step one to start with your email marketing and to build an email list? Do you build them at the same time? Where do you devote your focus early on, email or social? I'd love to hear your thoughts around that.
So I started doing it kind of in tandem. I didn't want to like fully launch and be like, you know, posting super consistently when I didn't actually have an offer or like a link in bio. People did want to go there. But I think, you know, what I'll tell people in my mentorship group, like it takes a while typically to build a following. So there's no harm in posting and providing that valuable, savable, shareable content along the way. As long as you're working on everything on the back end, kind of in tandem with that. So you can be creating and posting, but you want to be ready to have like, you know, whatever your link is, whatever your offer is to build your email list, because your email list is your entire business. You know, like if things, you know, went to crap, like you still have your email list, you still have your subscribers, you can still promote things down the line, let them know that, you know, you're doing X, Y, and Z or to follow you here or whatever. So I think that the email list is like the crux of the business. Which is why, you know, like some of those other business models that don't teach you these things, like that is where pretty much all of the value is, you know? So, I would say that to do them at the same time, because social media is also a skill, the editing side of things and like, you know, finding out like what your target audience is and like what viewers like what you can do more consistently to carry on with those views and the follows and the conversions. So it's a lot of like trial and error, and it took me a while. I think it was June 2023. Still great amount of numbers. I have to remind myself, like, I think I had like maybe 35,000 followers on Instagram. So in less than a year, and now I'm at over 600,000. So it something clicked, and I had to stay consistent with it long enough to make it be consistent for the following that I had to be like, okay, we're moving on to this new thing. This is my new content style, which I would change like as the algorithm changed, but that's how I would kind of get to that next, you know, 100K followers. But all of this was in conjunction with my email sequence and always adding to that and providing value in that as well.
So many lessons there. I think I love that, you know, you're talking about being consistent with your posting, consistent with your overarching strategy of growing the email list and the following, but also being adaptable and flexible, because in reality, user habits are always changing, preferences are always changing, the algorithm is always changing. So your style of content might adapt over time, but your overarching principles or what you're talking about is going to remain constant. So I think that's really great for us to hear.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so I am going to put you on the hot seat right now for a quick second, and I'm curious, would you rather have 1 million followers on Instagram or 100,000 email list subscribers?
I think I will take the million. Because
you'll take the million. Okay, yeah. I want to hear the reason why.
Because I have, so mathematically, I have over 600,000 and I followers, and I have over 300,000 email subscribers. So if I had another 400,000 followers, I should gain another 100,000 email subscribers. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So yeah, I see, I'm like, I think one would be a little bit better. But that being said, remember, like when in the beginning, like I made a lot without having such a big following. So it all comes down to the email subscribers. Like that's specific to me. And I have like, again, a unique situation. My account was down for a little bit, so it should be higher than it is. But for anyone just starting out, emails. That is your whole business.
100,000%. Totally agree. And I think a lot of people hopefully were reminded of that when Instagram crashed the other day.
Right.
That like, oh snap, my followers are gone. I technically don't have any way to access them.
Yeah.
But if you're someone like yourself, you have 300,000 ways to access them. You have 300,000 contacts. So for someone listening to this who they hear all the time about email marketing, you need an email list. And they're like, how do I even get someone to subscribe? Like, where do I even start with that? Can you walk us through how you got started and what you do to this day to get people onto your email list?
Yeah. So I think it's like, it's a few things, right? You want to have good, bingeable, savable, shareable content that's education packed, value filled, obviously, to even get people interested in watching your videos, checking out your profile, and looking at what you have to offer. The next thing is using a strong call to action to make sure that people are actually accessing these things. So like, I know you use MoneyChat, I use MoneyChat, and also like having a good link in your bio with a lead magnet, right? So you want to kind of give people like a freebie incentive to give them your email address so they can get something for free in exchange. So that's kind of what I have now. Basically like a beginner's guide, a free ebook. So I can say like, hey, like if you want to learn how I'm doing this, just comment this keyword, and then someone can comment that word and they get access to my ebook by putting in their name and email address. And now I gain a subscriber. They got a free ebook that, you know, is 10 pages long and valuable with affiliate links just, you know, enclosed in the ebook. So it's like a win-win situation. No, it's being forced, but I get an email list so I can check in and be like, hey, like, how's it going? You know,
yeah.
And a few more things down the line.
Yeah. And we will link that up down in the show notes below. So if anyone wants to grab that guide, we'll link that up. But so freebie, freemium, lead magnet, they're all words that essentially describe the same thing, which is you ask for someone's email address and in return, you give them something free, like a guide, a PDF, an ebook, whatever it may be. How often are you promoting organically that freebie?
100%.
100% of the time, like every day?
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. And is it every day in your feed or is it every day sometimes like in your stories? Is it some days only on like TikTok or is it every day on Instagram on your feed?
It's pretty much. So I'm yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I hope that's a good thing. Like I aim to post 3 times a day on Instagram. I've been doing that since I started October 2022, 3 times a day on Instagram. Sometimes more. I have like a different account too. And then like, you know, if I repurpose to TikTok or Facebook, but yeah, pretty much like 3 times a day. And I'm not like being like aggressive with it. It's just kind of like, hey, like if you haven't done this yet, like here's a free resource for you. But I get tons of engagement. So there's still clearly a lot of people that, you know, are interested. Cause you know how, you know, ManyChat's great. You get all these comments and stuff and you have your autoresponder and everything. So like, I'm still getting tons and tons and tons of, reactions to the call to action each time I do post it. And then I will post in my stories and stuff too. You know, not super like salesy or like click this link or buy this or whatever here. More of like, you know, nurturing the current audience that I have and showing them that I'm a real hot mess, you know, mom and I'm just out here doing it, you know, but I do sell in my stories as well. But some days it's, you know, more than others, some days it's less. So
yeah, that makes sense. And honestly, that echoes what I've heard from pretty much everyone who I've asked that question so far on Social Media Moneymakers, is it's promoting or selling or offering a lead magnet in some way every single day. But it's also good to hear the frequency that you're posting with three a day. I would assume probably one out of those three is promoting, or are all three promoting the lead magnet in some way? How many per day of the three?
Are you talking about like in the actual video itself, or like in the caption, or like, or the whole thing?
I'd love to hear both, you know, like how many, because in my mind, when I think about putting like a call to action in the video, that's like a very explicit promotion. Mm-hmm. Whereas like if, you know, the video is captivating, entertaining, and then you have a caption, and then maybe like the call to action's at the bottom of the caption or whatever, right, that's like a less explicit promotion, but it's still a promotion nonetheless. So all of your strategy, I'd love to steal it and hear what it is.
Yeah. So I will have that same call to action pretty much in every single caption of the video. Like sometimes not, if it's not really about that, it's more like something a little bit more like emotional or wholesome or whatever. And it doesn't, that my caption doesn't lead to that, you know, I'd be like, oh, like click here to do this, or like, you know, comment guide if it doesn't flow with the video, you know. But I would say most of my videos, 90% of my videos have that, you know, call to action to comment a specific keyword. And that's more often than not. Sometimes, like actually, ironically, today I did say in my actual video to like comment guide to learn more. But I do that less frequently. But yeah, it's usually thrown in there in my caption, at least.
That's very helpful. And then once someone is on your email list, how frequently are you emailing them? That's my first question, then we can dive into the rest of it.
So I have, you know, my sequence of emails, and in the initial stages, I will wait like one day between another email. And then once I like pivot between offers or start talking about like my mentorship or my own digital products, I wait a certain amount of days, and it's usually between like 5 and 10 days that I'll wait before starting promoting like another sequence of emails. And then that will be, you know, determined based on what the lead has already bought or not bought, or if they need, you know, more emails about a certain thing, just to kind of like convert as best as I can.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So, and I know email sequences can get crazy complex with like this interlocking spider web of like, if they clicked on this and they purchased this and they follow here and they've done this in the past, then they get this email. And I know it can get super complex, but it's good to hear nonetheless that when they first join your email list, you're essentially sending them one email a day for the first couple days. When you first got started with your first email list, your first email sequence, what was it like back then? Because I would imagine it was a less complex sequence in the early days.
Yeah. And let me tell you something that's helpful to hear. It's not that complicated now. So my whole mindset was like, if it's not broke, don't fix it, you know? And I had a lot going on. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna get my emails out. I'm gonna like, I mess with the sequence. Like I changed the number of days between like a once or twice just to like, you know, A/B test things and see how things went. But I have not done the amount that I could do with a funnel, you know? Like there's like tags you can put on people's stuff to like put the amount of points, like if people clicked or if they bought or if they whatever, and then move them to a new segmented list. And like, mm-hmm. I have made the money that I've made without doing all of the crazy like funnel stuff. I mean, or not funnel, like sequence stuff. Like you really can do a deep dive with it. And I'm sure like I'm leaving money on the table by not, but like, I got a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old and like life is crazy. Yeah. And I'm like, it's working, you know? Yeah. So I need to do more on it. And the plan is to do more on it, but you can get away with writing out, you know, your emails improving on them, you know, like tweaking them more than you need to, and go from there. But it doesn't have to be like this like amazing sequence before you actually get started, because that's the hardest
yeah.
part getting started.
I 1000% agree, and I appreciate your honesty and your transparency there. I think that's a great point, you know, about like the season of life that you're in, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if it ain't broke and you're busy with a bunch of other things, then why spend the time and energy to try to fix it, right? To be transparent myself, when I first got started and started building my email list, I never built a funnel or a sequence. Like at most, it would be a few days of emails. And that was really it. That was when I was doing things solo. That was when I admittedly, like I'll say I hit over six figures in income, but I didn't have a team and I was doing it by myself and I was a college student at the time. So I wasn't going to build a flipping sequence. I didn't know how. Now that we have a bigger business and we have a team, we can bring in consultants and staff members who are experts in copywriting and email marketing and can build this like complex funnel. But we were able to build that just by getting started in the first place. Like I was saying, my early sequences, my early emails were maybe a couple days at most, but it wasn't this complex web. So I appreciate hearing that you don't have this like crazy complex web with all these taggings and advanced filters and all this crazy stuff. So that's really helpful. And I hope encouraging for everyone listening to hear. Do you have an email list provider or service that you use that you recommend for other people?
Yeah, I use ClickFunnels. I have since the beginning. I know there's a lot of other, you know, options and stuff. But yeah, I started with ClickFunnels and I use Aweber for my my email sequence. I've looked into, you know, a few other things, but that's been really consistent for me. That as far as like the deliverability and like the customer service and like all that stuff. So I'm happy with them, but I there's also other options out there too that are less pricey going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I always say like there's so many options when it comes to like email marketing services. Like if you Google it, if you look around, do a little research, find what fits your budget and what has the solutions you're looking for. Cause I agree, there's plenty out there and a lot of them do a really good job. And I know I've used a handful over the years and had great experiences with a lot of them. So to end this episode, to land this plane, any final words of encouragement, advice that you can share with our audience today?
I guess the most important thing is just is getting started. And I know that sounds like duh, but it's actually doing that. Like it's like you said, it's not in the prep work, it's not in the, you know, the planning and the strategy and like deciding that you have to be perfect before you actually get out there. It's kind of like failing forward and like sucking at first, but realizing that like you can build a business, like even if you have no experience in this. And like I didn't want to be an entrepreneur, that was never like a thought for me, but remembering like why I wanted to try this in the first place and the benefits of it outweighed the cost. And the cost for me was really just my own embarrassment of like flopping, of failing, you know. And I think that fear of failure holds a lot of people captive for their whole life in multiple different ways. And especially when it comes to starting your own business, because you don't want to make a fool out of yourself. You don't want to disappoint your spouse and you don't want to, you know, let your kids down or quit your job or do something crazy. But I would just urge everybody to just remember that you have one life and like, it might just work out. Like the fact that it did for me is wild, you know, especially in my situation. And I'm, you know, not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I just went for it and it's really paid off. So yeah, go for it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Caroline, really, I appreciate your vulnerability, your authenticity. You have such an awesome story with so much that we can learn from it. There's so many juicy nuggets from today's podcast. I know we could go deeper and talk for another hour or two breaking down every little strategy, but I appreciate your time today. And I appreciate you showing up so vulnerably and so authentically for my audience. So thank you for being here, Caroline.
Of course. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for listening today. I appreciate you giving us your time and attention. You can find Caroline's social media handles down in the show notes below. And if I can leave you with one word of advice, one big takeaway from the first episodes of Social Media Moneymakers, not just today's episode, but all of the episodes we've done so far, it's that even if you don't have a large following, even if you're not making a ton of money, you need to start taking action. And I want to encourage you to believe in yourself. Of course, it's easier said than done, but I believe in you. And I'm not saying that to be cheesy or corny, and I know it might come across that way, but truly, I believe it's possible for you. I believe it's possible for you to have the growth that Caroline and myself have experienced. I believe it's possible for you to build a successful business like we have experienced. Whether you have the background that you think you need, whether you have the credentials that you think you need, whether you live in the state or you have the prettiest house or you have the prettiest face, no matter, I don't care what you doubt about yourself, what you believe about your current circumstances, I believe in you that you are capable of changing those things, that you are capable of creating the life of your dreams, that you are capable of creating the success that you're looking for, whether that's a certain number of followers, a certain number of income, a certain number of customers or students, a certain number of people whose lives you have impacted and changed. I believe that that is possible for you. The difference is going to be, do you believe in yourself? And more importantly, are you going to take action? Are you going to implement what you have learned so far? And that's the challenge I want to leave you with today. Whether you've listened to only one episode of Social Media Moneymakers or you've listened to every episode of Social Media Moneymakers, I want you to take action. Before you listen to another episode, take action. Implement one thing that you have learned so far, and your future self will thank you for it. Thank you so much for being here today, and I'll see you in the next one.